It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Man alive, where do we start? Where do we start?
Probably Florida, and then with a sprinkling of the Royals.
Yes. Hurricane Milton expected to make landfall around midnight to 2 a.m. It is currently a Category 4 hurricane.
Milton is such a nice old guy's name. Like, probably belongs to the Kiwanis Club.
That is what everybody is saying on the text line. Did they pick a more...
Does something good in the community.
Aggressive name.
Is nice to animals.
Like, someone on the text line said that Milton sounds like the guy in the office who wants his stapler back.
It is.
It is Milton.
That is. It was my understanding.
Told I could listen to radio between 9 and 11 with reasonable volume.
Yeah, Milton.
Officials are
moving the basement.
We've got CNN and the Weather Channel on a loop and have for the last, 48 hours. Milton will be a, quote, intense disaster for specifically, they're saying, Sarasota County.
Now, that's different.
I know. They've got the cameras right now pointed at Naples. That is the land of wealthy, retired people with gray hair.
So it's turning south?
Yeah. I believe it is.
Okay.
Hang on. Let me take a gander here. And yes, I just sounded like an old man when I said gander.
Okay, Milton, we'll give you a moment to take a gander.
Okay, so this would be south of Tampa. Sarasota County is the county just south of Tampa. Yep.
Yeah.
Which would, in a sense, be a positive, right? Because we were talking about the mass devastation from Tampa taking a direct hit for the first time in 100 years.
It's not good.
I'm trying to look to see where Darla is.
And still around 2 a.m.?
Midnight to 2 a.m., yes.
Okay.
Category 4 coming ashore.
Darla is on the south side of Tampa. So if it goes south of Tampa, it is going more toward
Darla. I'm telling you, I wish she would just get out of there. So she will be just to the north of landfall now.
As these hurricanes shift in their path, do they change the mandatory evacuation zones? I mean, these people were, in theory, going to be safe from the massive storm surge, and now it looks like it's heading straight at them, and they have no time to get out.
Okay, can I ask a dumb question?
No dumb questions.
We're watching CNN right now, and there is a pier in Tampa, Florida. And Dana, would you care to describe what we see on or near the pier as this storm is
bunch
slowly...
of people just hanging out in calf deep water? Those are the few.
Those are Darwins
who have, you know, raised the middle finger and said, "Bring it." And I don't understand it, Scott. I do understand socioeconomic constraints. You know, when we talk about Katrina and all of the people that were trapped and couldn't even get to the buses to get out.
Of course.
If you are just one of those folks that are like, "I'm staying, I've lived through enough of these and I'm 70 years old and I'm staying," you know, I don't know what they're doing as a backdrop of the Weather Channel live shot where they're telling people they're going to die. What you're asking, I don't have an answer for that.
You're talking about the socioeconomic divide. A lot of people don't have anywhere to go and they can't afford one of the now extremely expensive hotel rooms to the north.
By the way, Disney stayed open today until about an hour ago? The hurricane warning now includes Orlando. They are seeing tornadoes spinning up this afternoon because of the hurricane.
Oh, look at that bridge at Fort Myers. It's almost completely underwater. Look midway across.
Yeah. Yeah.
Huh. I've always wondered about the reporters, like from CNN or Fox or MSNBC, who are down there. Where did they go?
They actually talked about that on Kansas City's Morning News this morning with one of the ABC affiliates, and they said that they're going to be stationed in a parking garage.
They are
going to have an inverter for their car battery so that they can still run all of their equipment to do live reports. And until the car runs out of gas, they're just hunkering down in a high level of a parking garage where they still have access to a satellite.
They are calling this the potential, Milton, to be one of the most destructive, not necessarily deadliest, but those two usually go hand in hand, mm-hmm. in Central Florida history.
Wow.
And if you did not heed the warning and get out, it's too late. There's a guy on CNN right now saying, look, I wrote it out for Ian. I'm going to write it out for Milton, and God be with him.
And, you know, I think that's a horrible mistake. And they were saying on Morning Joe today that with these storm surges, there are going to be people found in the next few days who drowned in their own attic.
I don't think they found everyone from Helene yet, Scott.
I don't think they have either. But there are going to be people who are on, you know, one-story house with an attic who are going to see the flood water coming in. They're going to go as high up as they can, which is the attic, and they're going to drown in their attic. Dumb is as dumb does, but why would you not, if you know that there's this massive once-in-a-century hurricane coming ashore, why do you not get out of town?
I think some people think maybe it will change course, and they're wrong. They've been wrong before. But that also could put you more within the bullseye.
Right.
Right? I think there are some people who think, I cannot leave my fill-in-the-blank cat, dog, elderly mother.
Take the cat
with you.
I know
it, Scott. I'm telling you. They've looked at this. There are people who will not leave an impending disaster for their own safety because of their pets. We know this to be true.
Yeah. Now, granted, if you are physically incapable of leaving this storm, I get it. And hopefully there is something that officials or authorities can do to help you. But if you are able-bodied, have a car, have the socioeconomic means to get out of there, and you're, quote, hunkering down to ride the storm out.
Okay, but Darla didn't leave.
Well, and I think she's wrong.
And you told her that.
I did.
You told her that. We spoke with her yesterday, and she sounded great, but she even said on social last night, I am starting to get scared.
And her niece, I believe it was staying because of her dog.
In St. Petersburg.
I told you, if you look this up, they've studied it. A number of people, I don't remember what the percentage was, you would be shocked the number of people that stay behind because of a pet.
Pets are mobile. They can go with you.
But shelters don't always accept them.
Just get out of the path of the hurricane is all I'm saying.
Just go north.
Yeah.
Just go north.
Or go south.
Sleep in your car.
Go anywhere.
Yeah, go to Miami.
Go anywhere but in the path of this hurricane. By the way, Brian Busby is going to join us at 2:30, and I had him look something up. There was a guy I went to high school with in a country I cannot name named Alex Patton, who lives in Jacksonville, Florida.
Okay.
And he put up a map trajectory of where Hurricane Milton is going to go once it passes Florida.
Yeah.
And the hurricane cone, if you will, you've seen all the maps when you watch the TV news where they say, you know, here's the cone of the hurricane as it goes through Florida. The hurricane cone actually goes out into the Atlantic, and it won't be a hurricane when it reaches Europe, but it will be a tropical storm.
Oh, I bet. That's how big this is. It's
hurricane
going to go
cone,
over land.
Yes.
Continue on and will become a tropical storm by the time it hits Europe.
It hits France.
That's crazy.
Hits the coast of France. And my friend Alex Patton said, in all of my life, I have never seen a hurricane cone reach Europe. This one might. Somebody says, I would absolutely not leave my animals. I would be loading up a week prior and we are out. Well, the problem is you only got 5 days warning on this one. It developed 5 days ago.
Yeah, it went from a tropical storm to a Category 5 in less than 24 hours.
That is correct.
It is still projected to drop down to a Category 3, but as we've discussed multiple times this week, that does not mean the storm surge is going to be any smaller.
Right. 913-586-7798. Brian Busby joins us at 2:30. 913-586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. Telephone number is 913-586-7798. Floridians are already facing a terrifying threat of Hurricane Milton. Supercells of tornadoes Storm systems capable of generating tornadoes have started to sweep across the Florida Peninsula as Hurricane Milton rapidly approaches the Sunshine State. The powerful Category 4 storm was spinning northeast at 17 miles per hour, about 190 miles off the coast of Tampa earlier this morning, with maximum sustained winds of 145 miles per hour.
I'm going to have Sam, when he has a minute, go on Twitter and see if we can pull up the audio. I just retweeted this, Sam. This is eerie. Hours before Hurricane Milton is set to strike Florida, residents in several neighborhoods have witnessed an eerie spectacle. Large groups of sandhill cranes, like the blue herons that we have here, super tall birds,
okay,
gathering in pods and emitting sharp, urgent calls as if signaling to flee. Look at these. These are just walking down the street in a residential neighborhood with this crazy, eerie distress call. Yes.
Is that actually the sound?
They are
that
warning,
is the sound they are making.
They are warning people in parking lots to get out.
Isn't that weird?
Oh, I'm telling
how
you.
How they can detect
animals,
it?
No.
913-586-7798. Todd in... Wow.
Oh, that is so creepy.
Todd in Bremer. Hello, Todd.
Hello. We talked about the people that chose to stay, but what about the people that are supposedly stranded on the highway? What's their protection?
There is none. If you're asking about those who will run out of gas, and it will happen, I don't think there is protection, Todd. If they waited too late to get out and that funnel is clogged.
So they're potentially going to drown in their own cars.
Well, sadly, maybe yes.
Also, I don't know anything about construction, but you know those enormous cranes? Mm-hmm. Enormous cranes.
Yeah.
There's one spinning right now in Tampa. I don't know anything about construction. But was there not time to take down large projectile? Okay, so, or are those cranes built to withstand hurricane force winds?
I would guess that they're not. But to answer your question, keep in mind that this storm only started 5 days ago,
right,
or less.
Right.
When I'm not supposed to talk about Germany. I'm not supposed to talk about Cancun. But when we were in Cancun staying at the GR Solaris, you've been there, they are building the resort that was just to the south of GR, was condemned years ago and has been empty for a number of years. They are rebuilding a new, or they're building a new resort right there. And T and I were fascinated by the work that they were doing, how quickly these guys were working. But one of the things they had was a crane, a huge crane that they would use to lift up these materials and drop them on the roof of this new resort. This crane is literally embedded into the ground on the south side of the resort. To take it down would be a monstrous feat.
Right, sure. So just let it spin.
You're not doing
let
it in 5 days.
Let it spin.
They are built to withstand basically anything. That's just the way that they're designed. And it takes a minimum of 3 days to take one down in perfect weather. As you can imagine, it has not been perfect weather in Tampa.
From the National Weather Service, and this is within the last hour as we get set to welcome Chief Meteorologist Brian Busby onto the program, it is time now to shelter in place from Milton. Mm. This is from the National Weather Service. Tropical storm force winds, flooding rains, and tornadoes are spreading inland across the state. Unless a life-threatening situation arises, it is time to stay indoors and follow the updates.
And I was watching the news this morning, and it wasn't the mayor of Tampa. It was a one of the county leaders or something. They said, if you are in trouble and the hurricane comes ashore, you are on your own. You're on your own. We're not sending out police and ambulance and firefighters to save you in 150-mile-per-hour wind. We're just not going to do it. And hats off to the mayor of Tampa. Hats off, by the way, to the governor of Florida as well, who have both been very stern and very direct to the people who live on the west coast of Florida. The mayor of Tampa yesterday said, if you live in evacuation zones A, B, and C, and you did not evacuate, you will die. you will die. That is a direct quote. Ron DeSantis has said basically the same thing. This is not a tough guy scenario where I'm gonna wait it out. I'm gonna sit here with my dog and my one-story house.
Is it possible that 5 days lead time is just not enough, Scott?
It's and not.
We're looking through the lens of, you know, day one, no one's paying attention. Day two, it's like, oh, wait, there's another hurricane churning. By day three, if you don't have your plan in place, it was day three into four, the airport started.
Well, they also said that this is the biggest mass mandatory evacuation in the state of Florida's history. The highways just aren't built for it. They're only three lanes wide.
Yeah, but you can open up both sides.
But we saw that they weren't doing that. Highway 75 featured vehicles still driving south.
Do you know who is going to be safe? Anyone near the Aquafence. The Aquafence is back up, people. Yeah, outside.
What is the Aquafence?
You missed the Aquafence outside of this hospital,
Scott. This technology is awesome.
It's crazy. It's when Helene came in. The nearest I can describe it, it looks like the roving Vietnam
wall.
The one that the traveling Vietnam wall.
Yeah,
okay.
Sure.
And it's just panels and panels and panels side by side.
15-foot tall panels.
And they have
they
a brace.
They bolt them all together.
They bolt them all together.
Oh, I saw them putting this up on Fox News this morning.
It stopped the water. People on the other side of that wall, they were just walking, like in scrubs, hospital workers. And the water was all the way up and did not cross that barrier.
But in fairness, what does it create for the people on the other side of that wall?
It pushes the water elsewhere, yeah.
So the people
keeps
on
the
other side,
safe.
Well, and that's good.
Yeah,
that's good. But the people on the other side of that wall are doubly screwed.
So the way that this technology is set up is that there is a flat panel on the ground and then a panel up in an L shape in the middle. And they have guy wires on both sides. So it's actually the weight of the water that holds the panel in place.
In place. Isn't that crazy?
When it goes onto the flat panel that's parallel to the ground, it pushes up against the guy wire tension, the triangle, into the vertical panel, and it will not topple.
Why can't we just Aquafence everything?
Money.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm sure Aquafence would love that.
I'll tell you this. The businesses on the other side of that Aquafence are like, seriously?
Right.
Seriously?
If only we had budgeted
you just caused us twice as much damage. But for a hospital, I totally get it. I totally get it.
It was a incredible video seeing all of the people walking inside like it was a autumn day. Huh. On the outside,
no
you just
kidding.
Got 12 feet of water.
No kidding.
And they're just like talking on their cell phone inside this Aquafence.
By the way, a number of people on the text line, I think we addressed this a minute ago, say that they unlock the cranes and allow them to spin in the wind.
Okay.
Instead of having to take them back down and then having to put them right back up.
Well, because if you lock them, the tension against the steel could take the crane down with the wind.
So that's actually brilliant.
So
thank you.
So they unlock the top of the crane. So when the winds come in, it just spins it around like a windmill and it doesn't fall down.
They also said that the 3-day teardown is if it's already planned because they have to bring in a gigantic crane to take the other crane down.
Yeah.
And getting that crane there is a multi-day process.
You know, I had never seen a crane like when we were down in Mexico last week, that up close and personal. They have gigantic, because they're lifting up from the ground.
Yeah.
Just incredible amounts of weight.
Yeah, concrete foundations.
Right. They have huge weights on the back of the crane to balance it out. Huge, like, I don't know if they're made out of concrete, but they're probably about 6 feet tall, 3 feet wide. And they're stacked on the back of the top of the crane.
We sound like idiots to anybody in the construction industry
absolutely.
Right now. But I got the
Who
pleasure.
Who thought one of those things was supposed to spin?
I got the pleasure of seeing one of those getting taken down, and it was incredible.
By the way, we did a deep dive on crane operation.
You did not.
Yes, we did. Do you know what the average crane operator makes in the United States?
No, but please enlighten us.
$300,000.
A lot.
$300,000.
To operate that crane.
Do you think you could do it?
You'd have to pay me that much just to go halfway up, and then I would have a heart attack before I got all the way.
So here's the other thing. The crane operator, I mean, we deep dove on this thing. The crane operator never comes down during the day. Even when there's nothing to lift, he just sits up there in his cab.
Eating lunch.
And then at the end
out.
Of the day, we watched how he or she gets down from the crane.
Will milk be made available?
No, milk will not be available. You'll need to bring your lunch.
A restroom up there?
I'm assuming that there is some sort of receptacle. There's a ledge.
Oh, God.
There is a door.
God, it's raining again.
Oh, man. Yellow rain.
Okay. Why is it warm?
Look at the tornado on the ground in, is it Okeechobee, Florida?
Mm-hmm.
My goodness.
Brian Busby, chief meteorologist at Channel 9, joins us in just a moment here on Dana and Parks.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is currently a Category 4 hurricane. It is also currently 120 miles southwest of Tampa, Florida. As Hurricane Milton barrels down on the Florida Peninsula, expected to make landfall sometime around midnight to 2 a.m. tomorrow morning. Joining us on the KMBZ hotline is Channel 9 Chief Meteorologist Brian Busby. Brian, good afternoon. Welcome.
Good afternoon. How are you guys doing?
Better than people in Tampa.
Yeah.
Yeah, true. True that.
So what is unusual, I guess, about this from a meteorological perspective? When you're looking at all of the charts and the graphs, what are you seeing that, like, the layperson tuning into any of the programs right now, what do you know that we don't?
Well, I guess the thing, it's history, if you will, because we talked about that yesterday, that since it formed in the Gulf of Mexico as opposed to the west coast of Africa, that's probably the first thing that jumps out. Second thing that jumps out is the fact that it intensified so rapidly and is still holding together, although it's still, again, off the coast. A couple of things are playing in our favor, though, and I wish you could see what I've got here at home. I've got two of my phones, I've got a laptop, and I'm watching like three or four different feeds on the TV with all the reports that are coming in. I would just say the way it's behaved, it still held its own, and it's still, what, about 75 miles off Cape Coral, at least the eye is. So it is still a storm that's going to move. I'm surprised it's still saying midnight. I think it may be moving ahead before midnight, actually making onshore. That's just my own opinion. But again, these things have a tendency to make everybody look a little foolish every once in a while. There are some couple things that I do want to say up front that we talked about the wind shear. We also talked about drier air. Those two things are playing in our favor, and that's part of the reason why it should not come onshore as a Category 4. It should come down at the Category 3, but that does not mean it's going to be a gentle breeze once it hits onshore.
Brian, I was watching a lot. I watch way too much cable news, and there was a lot of talk earlier this morning about the perfect eye wall. And then I heard talk about wobbling and that the eye was wobbling. What does that even mean?
Basically, what the eye is doing, I mean, if you can imagine, this thing is very efficient. We already talked about how large it is. We already talked about how much energy it has. And it'll go through a life cycle. All right, let me say it like this. If you've ever seen, and I know that Dana's not going to like this analogy just because of what I'm going to choose, but if you ever see a snake shed its skin, basically a hurricane will shed one eye and another one will take its place that is fresher, stronger, and more intense. So when it wobbles a little bit, that's going through that process of replacing one eye with the other.
And that sets it off course then?
Not necessarily, because again, it's hundreds of miles wide. The eye itself will wobble a little bit, like a top about ready to topple over. you know, there'll be a little bit of wobble. And I guess there's been wobble because everybody's saying Tampa, 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 Tampa. Now they're saying Sarasota,
right.
Sarasota, which is what, about 50 miles south of there. And it doesn't necessarily move it off course. These things will still try to keep themselves alive. And maybe for whatever reason, the shear is not as much and the water may be a little warmer farther south. And that's why it's saying, I think I'm going to head there just to keep itself alive.
I doubt that you've ever been in the eye of a hurricane, but you have more professional knowledge about this than we do. What is it like inside the eye of a hurricane?
Totally calm. Totally calm. You can see sunlight up above. I mean, it's just so eerie that within a circle, if you can imagine being in the inside of the Colosseum and you're a gladiator, where you are, it is, well, in the middle of everything else. Everybody else is spectators around you. And that's what the eye wall is, where cacophony and just craziness is going on along those thunderstorms. But where you are in the eye, it is totally calm.
I don't remember if it was Jim Cantore or who it was on one of the shows during.
It was Chris Cuomo.
Was it Cuomo?
On CNN.
Where the hurricane hit and the eye passed over him. And you're right. It went from just chaos to. Do, 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 do. And then, you know, sometime later it picked right back up.
Mm-hmm. And that's what that's exactly what will happen. So a lot of people put their guard down, especially if they're not familiar with these, thinking, oh, well, it's over. Well, that's the leading edge when it calms down. And then you still have the other side of the hurricane that still has to pass you by. And that's when it picks up once again. I think I was listening to you guys trying to get ready, and you were talking about the name Milton.
Yeah.
And how it's maybe not the most ominous sounding name.
It's correct. It's kind of wimpy, let's be honest.
Hey, well, there's some other ones that are probably not that strong sounding either. There's six lists, and I think we talked about that. And so this list that we're using now, we used in 2018. And ironically, the M-named storm back then was Michael, and Michael's name was retired,
yeah.
And they chose Milton this year.
And what do they have to do to retire? Remind us.
It's got
to
be awful.
Anything that's talking damage or death.
Okay.
Anything, yeah, because we don't want to compare Hurricane Camille on this list to the Hurricane Camille that everybody remembers or the Hurricane Katrina.
Yeah.
We don't want to make those distinctions. Okay, Gaston's on the list. Let's see, Julia. Rose is on a list. That doesn't sound too ominous.
No.
Gordon. So, I mean, you know, we only have so many different names. Oscar's coming up later on. William.
So
Wendy.
Well, like early.
Wendy. Now, come on. We can't have a Wendy.
Well, not
no,
a.
Wendy as in hamburger joint, not Wendy as in the song.
It's the same and it Wendy. Sounds the same.
So, like Hurricane Kirk was last week and it went north and just kind of petered out in the Atlantic. Kirk will be recycled,
could
correct?
Be used again.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
And then,
only the names that are memorable for the bad reasons. So those are the ones that are taken off the list. And that's about close to 100 of them have been taken off the list over the years.
And then, Brian, what are your counterparts down south saying? I mean, I know this is 24/7 go time for all of the meteorologists and the staffs down there.
They're saying, again, this is something like I've never seen before. It is definitely a storm that's going to be studied by meteorologists and meteorology students for sure. They are still thinking that the surge is going to be the worst when you're talking about, again, a 15-foot wave of water. And then with the wind capping it even taller than that, and I think I heard you guys talk about if you're in a one-story house and you're still trying to ride it out,
yep.
A lot of folks may be found in their attics. Unfortunate, but true. Mm. A lot of them are just trying to pace themselves because they know it's going to be a long process to try to still talk about this storm. Now, I also think I heard you guys talking about, is 5 days enough notice? You know, the other problem is, and that's what we deal with even here in Kansas City, if a tornado warning is out and it's out for too long a period of time and people look outside, well, it's totally sunny where I am, what are they talking about? And when you're talking about maybe 5 days, 6 days, 7 days in advance to a hurricane, are people going to say, yeah, those guys are never right.
Yeah, it's too much.
Happen. Yeah. So damned if you do, damned if you don't. And I don't think we found the sweet spot as to what is going to make people take action.
You know, Brian, yesterday I was saying that, this storm from one end to the other, and I think you and I talked about this on the air with Dana and me and you on Monday, is roughly 360 miles. And, mm-hmm. and somebody wrote in on the text line, and they said, so you're telling me that this storm is wider than the state of Missouri? And I wrote back, yes. Because the distance between Kansas City, Missouri, and St. Louis, Missouri is 248 miles. This storm is much wider than the entire state of Missouri.
Yes. From feeder band to feeder band, yes. Now, I don't know if you guys also noticed, but there have been over 75 or 80 tornado warnings embedded within this thing.
Yeah.
So embedded within this cluster of 300 miles of just destruction, you can still get tornadoes, winds, rain, heavy rain. I mean, it's like all the hazards in one storm system.
Brian, a silly question, I know, but are there tornadoes that are whipped up by the hurricanes significantly or meteorologically different than the kind that we see here?
They still form the same. They won't be the long tracking ones that you can see like in Oklahoma, but there was one I saw on social media of a wedge tornado. Those are the ones that look very wide. And that was one, I forget exactly where, it was in Florida. Most of them don't live that long. They don't stay on the ground that long, but they can still cause damage.
Yeah.
And usually they don't get like to EF4 or EF5. The winds may be EF 1 or 2, but that can still cause some potential damage too.
Is there another storm behind this one?
God, I haven't even looked.
I know. they haven't had a break either, Brian. I can't imagine. I think people were not even done with Helene when this one hit.
Brian, when you and I talked earlier today, off air, of course, I asked you about the trajectory of this storm heading toward Europe. Have you found anything that backs that up?
Well, it will continue to move into the Atlantic. I've not been able to see the graphic that you said your friend had referenced. But yeah, it's going to continue to go into the ocean. The thing is, obviously, the farther north it travels, the cooler the water will be. Therefore, it won't be as intense. We can't imagine this thing becoming another Category 4 storm once it gets in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean and the northern Atlantic. But stranger things have happened, too. But no, I've not been able to pin that down.
Do you chalk the size of this storm and the size of Hurricane Helene, both of which, strangely, formed just north and west of South America, is this climate change?
Sure. Again, I think that I've said it before, and I know that it's a hot topic, just like you in that country that you lived in that you can't say. I will say this. Is it all man-made? No. Is it all cyclical? No. Is it a combination of both? Yes. For anybody to say that the hurricanes are the exact same strength that they were even 15 years ago is just not true. And the water temperatures are certainly just not the same. So, yes, it has something to do with it. I mean, it's just like adding caffeine. I hate to bring up that subject that you guys talked about that was, I forget whether it was 7-Eleven or another one where the lady.
Yeah.
No, it was
the supercharged lemonade.
Panera. I forget where
it was. Yes, Panera. Yeah. Panera, yeah.
Yeah, when you add a jolt of energy into any system, it's going to be stronger. And the thing that keeps things going stronger is, well, I don't know, the sun and the sun's energy. I mean, you can't point to just one thing and say that's what's causing it. But I will say this, it's a pretty complex thing, which is why it's got to be partially man-made, partially a psyker. And so, yeah, when you add that extra energy to a system, it's going to be the result of what
it caffeinates it. It caffeinates it, for lack of a better word.
For lack of a better word, yeah.
Brian Busby, Chief Meteorologist at Channel 9, always appreciate your time and your expertise. Thank you for it.
Thank you, guys. Talk to you soon. I'm sure we'll be talking about this one for a while.
Be safe.
Be safe and be well. Okay, buddy.
See you guys.
All right, that's Brian Busby from Channel 9. Dana Wright, Sam Stevie III. My name is Scott Parks. Next hour, we will get into the Royals. They're back in town. Postseason baseball. Ryan LaFever joins us at 3:15. new survey out on the safest cities in America. By the way, Overland Park, you made the list. So did Kansas City, Missouri. Weirdly, so did St. Louis.
I was going to say, Kansas City and St. Louis made the list.
Wait a minute.
It's only 200 cities they looked at.
Oh, okay.
The numbers aren't great.
Okay.
Safest cities in America will go from 5 to 1. Number 5, Boise, Idaho. Number 4, Burlington, Vermont.
Okay.
Number 3, Warwick, Rhode Island. Number 2, Casper, Wyoming. And number 1, keep in mind, Burlington, Vermont was number 4. Number 1 is South Burlington, Vermont.
Wow, you go, Vermont.
Yes, very safe. Let's see what we got around here. Overland Park, my friends, you are the 58th safest city in America. Now, granted, some of these cities are pretty tiny. You know, like Burlington and Boise and
It can't
Casper.
Be that tiny. Or like Fairway and Mission Hills would be on there. Prairie Village would be on there.
Yeah, you're right. Overland Park comes in at 58. Wichita is 104th. Kansas City, Missouri, and keep in mind they only rank 200 cities. Kansas City, Missouri, you are 148th. St. Louis, the back door to the east, is 163rd.
By the way, it's actually worse because they only ranked 180 cities.
Beg your pardon.
And 150 of the most populous were already, they were just automatically included.
Got it.
They picked 30 other random ones that.
Like Burlington.
Like Burlington. Because that's
and
not
South
the most
Burlington.
Popular. Of course.
Did you hear a plane had to make an emergency landing in New York City after a pilot died mid-flight?
Turkish Airlines.
Yes. And, of course, there was another pilot on board, thank God. But the 59-year-old lost consciousness at some point after the plane took off from Seattle. And crew members decided to make an emergency landing while they worked to revive the pilot. Sadly, he died before the plane landed.
Age 59.
Oh, my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
A routine health check in March, by the way, showed no health problems that would have prevented him from flying.
Because
they have to undergo, like, more invasive physical tests than you would for a normal job.
If you're
a commercial airlines pilot.
Yes.
Yeah, they have a physical. We don't have a physical.
Because we would flunk it. All of us, this entire floor. I even think if there's like a problem, like let's say you have a heart attack or you know something like that, I think you're benched for a while.
Oh, I'm sure. You know, Maya is getting ready to, she's flying solo now.
Mm-hmm.
Her next trick is, Sam, did I tell you this
I'm gonna
yesterday?
I'm going to call it a skill and not a trick, please.
A maneuver?
She has to be up in the air, turn the plane off, and then restart it.
Like stall out.
Correct.
That is an emergency procedure.
I will not be there to watch that
one. No, you would need CPR on the ground.
Correct. News with Dan Weinbaum coming your way in 2 minutes.
I'm sure you could be in the plane.
I'd rather not.
Okay.
Ryan LaFever joins us at 3:15 as the Royals game 3 of the ALDS tonight here in Kansas City at 6:08.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at kmbz.com. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events. Major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.